because you can handle the truth.
Second hour of Immunize Wisely. My name is Ingrid Castle. I'm your host. And my esteemed guest is Lisa Lasker, the recording secretary for the Missouri Assembly. So I'm really glad to have you on. I want to just go ahead and open up the caller lines in case anyone has a burning question. There is a lot to study, for sure. And so a lot of the questions we end up answering, it's like, well, it's right there. I'll just share with you where it is, you know. But, you know, they're encouraging us to read at least an hour a day. And it really does take that, you know, to really get caught up. And that's 512-248-8252. Again, that's 512-248-8252. So, I think there's a lot of people that obviously have questions about how it's going to affect, like, their job. You know, let's just say they have a job or they have a small business and they're used to, you know, dealing with a de facto. What would you tell someone, you know, let's just say I had a small business downtown. I had a brick and mortar building where I was, running a coffee shop or something. And I'm, you know, supposed to do all this reporting to the state, you know, the state taxes. Would that affect my business? I mean, how would I deal with it?
Well, basically you dissolve your business and then you reopen it on the land and soil so you're not beholden to them. What happens when you strike a contract to have an LLC or an SCSS Corp or whatever it is, it's a corporation. And what you're doing is you're agreeing to corporate guidelines. You know, I just had a hairdresser approach me last weekend, and she's down in Springfield, and she says, what do I do? I mean, I lose my license. Well, do you really need that license to cut hair?
Mm-hmm.
You know, open your own business and bring people to you and get you a steady clientele. And she probably already has one, but there's nothing that says she has to be an LLC.
Right. Or she has to be any kind of corporate entity.
Now, I'm not saying that if you're a dentist, you want to drop your license, because you really don't. But, and I actually had a dentist approach me too. And there's things that, you know, there's everybody has to make their own decisions for themselves and thoroughly research what that means to you. And I couldn't possibly go around and tell you about everybody's circumstance.
Okay, well, this is what happened to me. I just want to tell you, after when I started Vaccination Liberation, I started it as a neighborhood watch just so I could get a bank account. You know, because I had people making checks out to Vaccination Liberation. So it was not a corporate entity. After Don was murdered in 2009, I felt nervous having all the accounts under just my name. Something could happen to me. So I added my sister as a second signer. As soon as I did that, all their rules had changed, and I was no longer grandfathered in, she said. And immediately, I became a corporation, was sent to the Secretary of State, and started getting solicitations as a business.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't even know how to retract that.
I still have
a bank account. See what I'm saying? Because once you have a bank account.
You know what? There is a way. And we've just actually put a committee on it last week. And one of the guys who's heading it, he's now going to be our treasurer. He went, He went right to the bank down there. You have to find a state chartered bank or credit union. And the charters mean that they give permission to work out of your state, and then they pay their taxes according to that. But there's some banks that actually are still.
We are still looking for one. Believe it or not,
I know they're hard to find. But they do exist. Yep. And our guy found one here in Missouri. And what you do, and what Anna is advising all of the states to do, because we have to do the same thing to acquire money to run the assemblies from the Federation. That's going to come down the pike now that she's opened up her own bank in Alaska. And everybody in the state is to, you can actually acquire an EIN without using a social security number.
Okay.
So that actually stays with the business side of the deal, the commerce side of the deal, without putting any persons or any people in that role. Because when we function as like a state citizen, then if I was functioning in the government, of course I'd have to pay taxes. And I am functioning in the government, but I'm functioning as a volunteer at this point. So there's nothing taxable there. But if I were to start acquiring a salary from the Federation, I would certainly pay taxes. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, you'd be paying taxes to what entity?
Basically to the government that fixes the roads and does the schools and all that stuff.
You'd be paid to the municipal.
We still do have to worry about our infrastructure.
Yep.
Absolutely. And there's only one way to do that, and that is to collect taxes. But taxes should be elective or strictly for commercial entities, like the truck drivers that go over the road. There's every reason they should have to be taxed to repair those roads as much as they use them and wear and tear on them. So that makes sense. And, you know, those were actually ushered in by the postal office.
Exactly.
And their roads. You know, there's a rhyme and a reason to everything. I'm not saying all taxes are going to go away everywhere. But there's no reason for us all to be paying a tax every time we buy an ice cream cone or whatever it is. You know, something small like
there's
that.
There's excessive amounts of taxes. There should be taxes on food and essentials.
I just spent a bunch of money remodeling my house, and you know, probably a third of it was in taxes. It's like, really?
Yeah.
You know, I want to summon the entity that made that okay. And every time, it's another thing. On all my research, when I go into the government pages and everything, and you look for the authority behind the rule, I always get sent to a 404 page, not available. You know, that speaks volumes to me.
It does. So we have a caller in Kansas, really close to you.
Oh, cool.
Okay, Sherry is on line one and from Kansas. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Hello. I've got a question about birth certificates. Now, I used to have one from the state and got my wallet stolen and it was in there, and I haven't applied for another one. But I do have the birth certificate that the hospital gave my parents. It was a Catholic hospital.
Okay, have a certificate of live birth.
It really doesn't have any of the data on it like that. I wish I did have that. The reason you get the one from the state is because you're kind of... So they can identify you, and you're saying you're negating this relationship or something?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
Saying this. You misidentified me as a corporation, and I am not a corporation.
Okay.
That birth certificate identifies your name, all in caps, is your... your fictitious straw man.
Right. And that's why you can understand, Sherry, some of, you know, the Supreme Court and these decisions to make corporations have the same rights as 14th Amendment citizens. Well, 14th Amendment citizens is what made us all U.S. citizens and turned us into corporations later through the birth certificate.
Okay. Now, I have a granddaughter that's going to be giving birth in a couple of months and probably at a hospital. And if I were able to explain this to her, what she should and should not sign as far as them, I've heard things like, don't name the baby at the hospital. Just tell them we haven't decided on a name or something, and then they can't. Because they nowadays they issue a social security number, I understand.
Yeah, they do. You know, that's all probably.
Does that work if you tell them not to?
Well, what we're doing is we have a baby deed that we use. And hopefully in the future, we'll. A baby deed, yes.
I love that.
Yes, a baby deed. So if you have babies, you pull them out of the system as well, because, you know, this is just, a lot of people are just waking up to this. So a lot of people have birth certificates already, and then that includes a lot of babies. So that's a remedy to pull them out. But each kid, when they become 18 or of adult age, will have to expatriate themselves anyway. It's just a protective measure for you and your children to keep you, you know, out of the ward of the state.
Yeah. And let me just mention, Sherry, we helped a lot of people get out of the hospital without a birth certificate by that tactic. We haven't decided on a name. And in other cultures, even in India, they will take several weeks to come up with a name. And it's like the baby will kind of name itself, and it's, you know, other people around the baby. So, you know, it's not, you know, this rush to name the baby right away is not real cool, actually. But they push it in the hospital. And it's because they get about $10,000, I've heard, for a full birth certificate. So you're costing them $10,000 if you leave that hospital without a birth certificate. So the latest tactic I've seen, a lot of this has been on health impact news and vaccine impact news, where if you try to leave the hospital without a birth certificate, they will call CPS.
Right.
So that's not the tactic. If she's actually deciding to go into a hospital, let them do it and negate it right away. And I would do it within 72 hours. Negate the instrument.
Yep.
Okay.
That's exactly
negate it, how do you do that?
We have formal paperwork.
Okay. All right. So do you know if there's a Kansas?
Yes, I do, and I do know the Kansas coordinator. Her name is Pamela Cummins, and if you go on the TASA website, the AmericanStatesAssembly.net, I believe it has a tab that says find your coordinator in your state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, there's actually, on that one, it doesn't have enough detail. I mean, it'll just basically
say. You
know
what? If you want to email me at recorder2 at MissouriAssembly.org, I will forward your email to her. Because your assembly is growing pretty strong.
Yeah. Okay. And I could call you too, Sherry, because Sherry, I don't believe, has a computer.
No.
No computer.
You know what? We're coming up with we have another committee that has come up with a USB for people who are computer illiterate, and you can literally take that to the library and print out all the paperwork.
Yeah, I know. That is so exciting. So you can go to the library with a, you know, just buy a thumb drive, and all the paperwork is there with instructions.
Yep.
You can do it all at the library.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, lady.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. I appreciate it. Yeah, so it is really interesting. There's so many ins and outs. And I love the assembly process because we're getting stronger all the time. You know, people are screened in order to be a member, and it's for good reason. You want peaceful, uprighting people.
They're not necessarily screened, because it's okay for anybody to become a state national. There are no holds barred here. Now, not everybody, every state national is going to want to participate in their assembly, but it's still good to have a bunch of state nationals.
Oh, and, that's true. You're right. Okay, you anyone can be. Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, here's the premise behind that. When you come into a community such as this, even as a state national, you get to know people. And, you know, people are we're what makes the world go round, you know, and being next to each other. When you come into an assembly, you become a part of the militia, which is a community response team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a gun toting, you know, here we're going to hold our gun, although sometimes it may be, if it needs to be that, you know, that's up to the sheriff to call his posse.
Right.
And that's our ultimate goal, is to occupy the counties again, because the counties have been sold to the government as well, to the federal government, and they've become corporations as a result. And that's why you have so much hard time with the police hauling you in for victimless crimes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You
know, victimless crimes have got to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was thinking when I joined the Idaho Assembly, you know, because, you know, I was brought before a committee and they asked me specific questions and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a vetting process. Sit on the assembly and make decisions and do that kind of stuff. But I didn't want to leave anybody out and say don't become a state national just because you don't want to do it, because there are benefits to doing that, too, down the road. And I don't really want to lay them out here because I don't want to use that as incentive. But there are benefits down the road. So with that said, I was going to say I'll yield because I've been in so many meetings.
I know. Yeah, in all our meetings, you know, we talk, may I? And then we yield because, you know, we have an agenda. There can be, you know, 50 people on a call. So, you know, it's hard to, you know, keep that tightly organized. So, we all, you know, we'll try to, you know, insert may I, and then have the coordinator of the meeting, you know, go ahead and honor your, you know, butting in and with your question. And then as soon as you're finished, I mean, you want to be as tight as possible because no one wants to spend hours at a meeting and not get anything done. So we like to have everything as streamlined as possible.
Yeah. We use Zoom, too, and we have a hand raise. You can raise your hand when you want to speak.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, we have a lot of people that only do the phone.
I feel for them. I've tried that when I first came in. That's what I did. I'd get on the phone and call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, are there any more questions? I mean, we have the number 512-248-8252. You know, we are pretty active in all the states, and I would encourage you to really look at this process because, you know, we are growing. I'm just really happy to be part of this movement myself, because you try to be sovereign and do all kinds of stuff and join these programs, but, you know, I keep saying we are not islands. We are social beings. We need to come up with solutions together. There's things that I learn from other people all the time, every day, and, you know, vice versa. You know, people are learning from me all the time, too. And to think that I'm just going to, you know, be this little island out here, we're codependent on each other, believe it or not.
I think sovereignty is more of a meant for the state, like Missouri is a sovereign state.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, the way our forefathers laid it out, we had nation states,
right?
And you know, the corporations kind of collapsed all that.
Exactly.
So we're restoring that aspect, and we're saying, wait a minute, we are a bunch of different people. And you know, even from state to state, the cultures differ.
They absolutely do.
And, you know, when I did a lot of studies into the research and, you know, how all this could happen and, you know, how do different people in different states react to different things, and they try to generalize everything. And, you know, you just can't generalize it because we all have this individual fingerprint. But for some reason, when we come together.
Yeah. I know. Okay, we have a We have a commercial break. You're listening to Lisa Lasker on Immunize Wisely.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up?
Update for December 2021. The Commander memberships that we have been offering have all been upgraded by Dr. Piazza to Founder memberships, a $60,000 value for a $500 donation to RBN. To get this deal, you will need to request and pay for two memberships. So find a friend or loved one that's interested and take advantage of this amazing opportunity. RBN will remind you on the air till December 30th at midnight.
See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we're back on the air, and this is Ingrid Castle with Lisa Lasker, who's a recording secretary with the Missouri Assembly. Now, we don't have any more callers. I figured this would be a topic that people would be interested in. We are actively growing our assemblies, and most people, the more they find out, the more they're interested. So we are actually... we just had a meeting here where I live last night, at the clubhouse anyway. My place is too little. But, you know, we're trying to meet every other week just to help people with their paperwork and encourage them to, you know, study more. And we usually read something, you know, so that we feel like we're connected as a county. Yeah. Because just like every other county across the country, we'd like to see us have our own court system and be able to seat a jury. And that's really the goal, but we have to have numbers. in order to qualify for having a grand jury. And we would have the superior jurisdiction. That's what people need to get clear, is once we get our numbers up, we do have clear superior jurisdiction over our employees. But, you know, it's and that's really why it's important to reseat our Republican form of government so we can actually enforce the real law of the land. We can't enforce it in these current corporate courts.
You know what? I'd even steer clear of calling it a Republican form of government, because that's kind of almost what got us in trouble in the first place.
Yeah, it's confusing to people.
No, I would say the American government. And, right. You know, the one thing they did teach me in the Master of Public Affairs is that we, the people, have all the power. We're supposed to have all the power. What they say, though, is you got to go and register to vote, but they don't tell you you're voting for a corporation who's already vetted their candidate.
Right. I guess, you know, it's confusing because, you know, we have a republic and it's a Republican form of government, but that is confusing for people. So we'll say the American form of government.
It kind of is. We're not trying to overthrow anybody or do anything malicious, or, you know, we're a peaceful, non-combative entity of the people, and we have the right to assemble. And that's something that will never be taken away from us, especially when you get back on the land and soil. Because now, you don't even have any rights as a U.S. citizen. You have no rights.
You have zero rights as a, you know, this corporate entity that they're claiming
you're either a U.S. citizen or a municipal citizen or both.
Okay, that's right. So we have Mitchell in Tennessee on line one. Welcome to the show, Mitchell.
What's up, folks?
Hi, Mitchell.
Listen, I'm kind of confused. I'm going to start at the top, and the basis for this country and the government, and I'm going to go to that line, the Declaration of Independence. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. You know how that goes. It says, with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Mysteriously, property is missing. But then it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed.
Okay? Yes.
So the reason that the people consented to be governed, according to this, was to secure and protect their inalienable rights. Now, putting someone that's the social contract.
Yes.
Putting someone in bondage seems to be a breach of the social contract.
Yes, it is.
When the social contract has been breached, it's rendered null and void.
Exactly.
If it's rendered null and void, you have a delegitimized, illegitimate government. If you have an illegitimate government, you do not have what's called legitimate political authority. If you don't have legitimate political authority, the individuals in positions of power of this illegitimate government are merely posturing and pretending to be people of legitimate authority. So actually, as it stands right now, it seems like all the politicians should be being arrested by we the people, because they're imposters.
Yes.
So I don't know. You see what I'm saying? And I have a whole list of what could be considered. Starting with the Declaration of Independence, I have a whole list of examples of what I would consider to be reaching the level of breach of social contract.
Right. You're absolutely correct, Mitchell, which is why we're organizing and why we're, you know, growing our assembly.
So we get our counties set up, particularly. First you set the state up, and then the counties just kind of fall into place, because it's like a drop in the pond. You know, you drop a drop of water in the middle and it ripples outwards. So, once we
I guess one thing is, I spoke to a woman, another host, Lauren from Ohio, and some other people, and because this stuff is very confusing to me, it's very difficult to work through, as you folks have mentioned. But
absolutely. You know,
I was inquiring from certain people is, can anyone give me an address where someone is now exempt from property taxation, and also if you change your status, are you exempt from the latter part of the Fifth Amendment eminent domain language, which is, I guess, affectionately called the takings clause? I mean, are you exempt from these things? And I would like to see at the office, some assessor's office, I'd like to see what it looks like if you're exempt.
Okay,
can you give
Mitchell?
Me an address of someone who's exempt?
Okay, hold on. We have a commercial.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Okay, welcome back. We're just talking about the property tax issue, and that's come up in our state. It's certainly come up in your state. And what's great about this network, I just have to, tell Mitchell, is that we have retired judges, we have ex-military, we have really dedicated research, and we have so much material. And that's, if you get into trouble with anything, there's a huge safety network of telling you exactly what to do from experience. And these are very experienced people. So
I guess what I'm saying is that I would like to be able to have a property, someone's home and address, and that now claims to go through this process, and now is holding a lodeal title. And I would like to see that for 6 or 7 years that they have not been harassed, or the state just left them alone. I also want to see, when I look up that address, I want to see what it looks like. I know what a church looks like.
Right. You know, okay. Everyone wants that. You know, they want that. And frankly, a lot of people are private about it. I know, you know, what was it like? Oh, gosh, it has been close to 20 years by now. We printed an article in the Idaho Observer, and it was a guy who was very successful, and he totally got it. He read Augustus Blackstone's book, and he got, you know, off the property tax rolls in Washington State, but they hounded him, and they got him in other ways. So, you know, I'm just saying.
All right, so a lot of people say, well, we've signed ourselves up for this.
But that was 20 years ago, and I'm just saying we're all working through this process. And at this point, you know, you could try all kinds of things and try to be, you know, an island. But this, we have like a book. I just posted it. If anyone that has property tax issues or foreclosure, the book that you want is My Home is My Castle, Beware of the Dog. It's by David Robinson. And it's on the chat room. I posted it.
Can I ask you a question? Because your guest had mentioned that, you know, we have to have the statist authoritarian government system and the taxes to fund the needs of the society. But I just want to ask, there's a lot of people that say there's all kinds of ways to fund the needs of society without having an authoritarian Hobbesian statist authoritarian government system. But I wanted to ask both of y'all, don't you think that we the people could set up laboratories and do exactly what the FDA is supposed to do, just as well, and compete with the FDA, just like the Federal Reserve note was competed with JFK for a short stint of time? But see, we can't compete with the government because they've got no compete. It's a monopoly. But do you two think that like we the people could do just as good a job as the FDA if we could compete in the marketplace?
Well, sure, and that's what I'm talking about, changing your jurisdiction back to the land and soil. And you know, there'll always be a marketplace that is not in the commercial zone. And it's called the black market, frankly. Which is always, you know, it's a social stigma for the black market, but it is a very real thing. And,
okay.
You know,
well, and lastly, what bothers me is just the principle of it, that you say they, whoever these people are, I believe that, from what I understand, the working in capacity of the government, and I just don't know, they have violated the social contract over and over and over. That was the whole reason we're told that we consented to be governed. And so I don't know why we have to do business with these people at all. I don't know why we have to do anything.
The reason that we are told that we have to be governed is because we're U.S. citizens at birth. Nobody gave us a choice.
And that was a breach of the social contract right there.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm saying, once they breach the social contract, your system of government is null and void.
Okay, Mitchell, you can't talk over my guest, please.
Okay.
She's trying to explain.
I was talking over him.
I can't hear her very well.
No worries. It's okay. That is why we are assembling and creating the land and soil jurisdiction again. It's not creating it again, but we are filling the shoes of it again. What happened after the Civil War, and we were grossly misled by the Civil War because it was two corporations fighting each other for control. It never was a we the people thing. Yeah, somebody came in and they stirred up dust and said, oh, we can start a war here. That war is profitable. And we can start one right here inside the country.
Yeah. So whatever happened to throw off such a government and set up a new government?
What happened is we, the people of the South, walked out and they said, we're not doing this bullshit. And they never reconvened, and the corporation ran amok. I mean, it kind of died away with the drive, I guess. You know, I wasn't there, so I really can't speak to what happened in people's hearts or whatever. But I from what I understand, the people who were seating the American, actual American government that was to oversee the corporations, bagged out because they didn't like what they saw. And they
right,
just,
and that was the South. The South had every right to succeed.
Right.
Okay. So, in 2021, should we be throwing off this befouled, unconstitutional government? Should we be throwing it off and setting up a new guard right now?
Yeah.
Well, it's not, you know what? If you try to overthrow this entity, they'll just come and kill you.
Right.
Right.
So, That's flat out. And I think they probably did my daughter last week.
I'm not advocating anything. I'm just saying that's what the Declaration of Independence said to do.
Right.
Right. Okay, Mitchell, we have other callers, so I'm going to encourage you to email me, and I'm going to, or you can look up on the websites that I posted in the chat, and I mentioned, to find your Tennessee coordinator.
Yeah, and my suggestion is read the General Assembly Handbook, and you'll get a really good picture.
That's right. That's on at AnnaVonWrights.com, and you know, I put all those links in the chat room, and I would just really encourage you to study, because I'm really, we all feel like you do, you know, it's not like we don't, you know, but that's why this is part of the solution, because we are seeing, you know, the wonderful network and success that people are having within our state assembly. So anyway,
okay,
thanks.
Can I throw one more thing in on that? Sure. Our state coordinator was successful in offsetting her Kansas City local taxes by using our templates. So that there's a success story for you right there.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you. We have Pat in Texas on line 3. Thank you, Pat, for calling. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about this General Assembly, and I frankly don't see anything wrong with the Constitution. We just need to hold on to it, because I don't think we have the men or women or anybody now with the same capability of the people who fought as hard as they did to get it.
But okay, that's the whole point. We have 3 different constitutions.
Constitutions are contracts, and a lot of people are under the impression that they're a document that is going to protect you, and they're not. They are contracts, and they are rules that the federal employees are to live by. And
well, I'm going to tell you something. There are people out there who have been wanting to get rid of the Constitution since Hitler was a corporal. And
well, they're not sticking to them anyway, so what good do they do if they're not? Yeah, I'm sorry.
They have all these constitutions ready to lay on the table once they get you to give up this one. There's one called a new state's constitution. You won't even have a trial by jury. And
exactly.
Then don't start talking about how bad that is now, because, see, as long as the jury doesn't know anything except what's right and what's wrong, it's okay.
And what's the jury made up of? What's the jury made up of?
Well, I don't want to go into.
Is it made up?
I've been there in one case. I did it pro bono. I mean, pro se case, and I talked to the jury, and the jury pool, and they saw where I was coming from, and I didn't have any trouble. It got real bad about it, you know. But it's something they could do.
How long ago was it?
Just finished what I'm going to say. Okay, we have something called a Rotary Club. And in Texas, you know, we don't have sessions all year long, unless they keep calling special ones like they're doing lately. The legislature, I'm sorry. And so the Rotary Club, they go down there and they use all the facilities and they make laws and fight about them and all that. And it's probably very helpful for the people we have down there, because they've already been through thinking about what if. So is this something like the Rotary Club?
I have never been a member of a Rotary Club, but I know what you speak of, and we're not necessarily a club.
Well, I know that's what they just call it, but.
But yes, it's a lot like that, because government. The actual government back in the day before the Civil War, they only came into a session when they were called into session.
Well, I kind of feel like that's why we need a republic form of government right now, because I cannot look at every little law they're trying to pass and look at, like in California, all this referenda. I mean, I can't do that.
Those laws only apply to the employees of their corporation. They're all copyrighted. So this is the whole thing. We have to divorce ourselves from being a U.S. citizen because you're really literally a slave to this corporation. They consider cattle. You need to come back to the land and soil jurisdiction of your state and, you know, restore Texas, the state of Texas as a nation
Texas
state.
Republic. I put on my envelope. Texas Republic.
And it should be.
We are.
So we have another caller, Pat. Pat, we have other callers. Are we about finished? Okay. Thank you, Pat. So we have Andy in Texas. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Well, hey, this is an interesting conversation. No, I think most people can just throw the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to the curb, and simply because the only people who are going to enforce it are us. And
you don't want to throw that to the curb. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence is ours. That is for us, the people. And that is the declaration that we made. We're independent. We don't need you to govern us. The only reason we should have government at all is to protect our property and our persons. And, you know, for the criminal that wants to come and rob us, you know, throw them in jail, whatever. But,
they're
contracts, and yes, they're null and void for the reason the previous caller said.
And that's why every able-bodied person in this country is a part of the militia. That's lawful. So you're a part of the militia. I'm a part of the militia. And that's to hold our government accountable.
Yes. They've been running amok for years.
No, and we should hold them accountable. But the point is that the normal people that we're waiting to hold them accountable, which would be our law enforcement agencies via the FBI, our police, and these people have gone loco. They're not part of the Constitution anymore.
It's their paycheck. They don't want to give up their paycheck.
Yeah, so we're in a pickle here. So, I mean, we can talk about – I love the Constitution. I love the Bill of Rights. I love the Declaration of Independence. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, we have far surpassed what those people back in that time would put up with. And so we should have already revolted. But these vaccines that you're always talking about and all of this other stuff with the high fructose corn syrup, the fluoride in the water, and all the other stuff they're poisoned with, barium, strontium, aluminum, and iron, we are so stupid. We don't realize that we could stand up now and finish this thing.
We could, and that's what we're trying to get the word out to do. And we're giving them the formal process to do it with that actually works.
Yep.
I drive with Z tags on my car. I don't register my car, and I don't get pulled over either. I've had cops driving behind me, and they don't pull me over.
Yeah. So she has private plates.
Think of the people that are driving right now without a driver's license. And think of the people who are driving with driver's license. Those of you who are driving with driver's license, you rarely get pulled over in the first place because you're driving soundly and properly and stuff. So, and the people who don't have driver's license, they're doing the same thing.
Right.
They just didn't buy the driver's license.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, anyway,
you wouldn't be able to do otherwise.
Yeah, well, Andy, I hope you join the Texas Assembly. They need you. There's plenty of people that are driving around with private plates. You know, I'm getting ready to put mine on. I just have to get my travel packet together. But I'm getting there. I'm getting close. Thank you, Andy.
Get that rolling in Idaho, then.
We are. We're just not quite as far ahead as Missouri is. Our state is really spread out, and we have big mountains in the center. Thank you, Andy. So we have Fred in Michigan. Welcome to the show, Fred. Thank you for calling.
Jack McLam used to, speaking of Idaho, aid and abet, and he had produced a superstellar treatise on the right to travel. That should be made available through RBN. He was a broadcaster on RBN. Carol Asher would have, I'm sure, copies of that.
It is. It's an excellent document. I have that. And we could probably get, Jerry Kirk, to post it at freedom-school.com. He has other stuff there, too. He has a lot of similar stuff on the travel issue at freedom-school.com. And then we have all that stuff also with our assemblies. We have plenty of great stuff on the travel issue.
Great. And the other thing, pursuant to Mitchell in Tennessee, the property tax debt liability is a constructive trust process. There is no legislative act mandate in any state, no legislative act establishing compulsory registration criteria.
Not one with any authority.
Well, what you do is you go in, there are all these nudie, jerky home title lock adverts on Talmud radio, all these 50,000 watt AM Talmud radio stations every night. I tune in. Here's the nudie man describing home title lock, the need for it, because the private property land title registration has been transferred into cyberspace cloud. Well, who authorized that? I don't remember any referendum ballot proposal. I don't remember hearing any legislative act establishing the criteria for that process. So what you do, Mitchell, you go into the county register of deeds and you tell them exactly what I just said. All these adverts got you perplexed relative to cyberspace cloud registration storage of everyone's property title. Who authorized that? I want to see the legislative act authorizing that. And furthermore, what happens when someone... Oh, yeah, and I want the legislative act establishing criteria for compulsory recording registration in the first place of the private property land title. Okay, and then I ask what happens, because there's two distinct elements, possession and use, right? And then there's the legal rights and interests, a.k.a. the controlling rights and interests, a.k.a. monetary economic fiduciary rights and interests. Those are without informed consent via the constructive trust adhesion contract process, the act of recording, registering the private property land title establishes this, what they want to call sesti qui trust, the constructive trust. All right, well, that was never explained to anyone. There was never informed consent authorization pursuant to full disclosure, good faith, valuable consideration. They hijacked, they stole, in essence, everyone's monetary, economic, fiduciary rights and interests without just compensation, which violates the Fifth Amendment, right?
Fred, you're absolutely...
We've established the problem, and now we're presenting the solution.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, that's what Mitchell needs to do and everybody else. Okay, carry on.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, we have all that, and we have the solution. So believe me, it's all been very well researched, and it's people like Mitchell, like you, all coming together in the assembly process. That's and people can, I don't understand if anyone has any criticism, because I haven't seen any problem with it whatsoever, other than it, I guess, taking money away from patriots, P-A-Y-triots, that are doing their own business and So I think that's an issue.
Yeah, they don't want to go down, and they're not going to go down without a fight.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So we have Murr in Wisconsin on line one. Thank you, Fred, by the way. Sorry. Thank you, Fred. And we have, now we have Murr in Wisconsin on line one.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. We're under administrative law, not admiralty law. When Rosenfeld bankrupted the country in 33, and then as Traficant read into the record in 1993, Congress is only the trustees for the largest bankruptcy the world has ever seen. Mm. That didn't stop. That hasn't stopped.
No.
So we're in a feudal system, and the administrative law gives all the legislation to the agencies through these committees that are way overrepresented by certain groups.
Uh-huh.
And what they do is interpret these laws and then enforce them.
Yes.
So becoming a national is another way.
Yes.
But we're not under admiralty law. We got to quit saying that.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, well, it's fine.
We kind of are with the commerce, with the driver's licenses and the victimless crimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's an admiralty system, and it's very clear if you research any of the court's works and the motor vehicle, especially the DMV, they call everything boats and vessels.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Right, and we have islands in the roadways, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
It's awesome.
Yeah. But that's still not the case of the laws. It's agencies, because
you're bankrupt. Right. There's an awful lot of administrative going on here, and most of them, the courts are commercial. And yes, they're tied to trust, and everything you do that you could possibly do wrong is already paid for.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing to do is become a national and stay out of their courts. Don't get near their courts. They don't want you in their courts if you're a national. They don't want you there. Okay.
That's similar to state citizen,
but not quite. And you know a little bit they're angry from having
we call it American State National. That's our title. We just call it American State National. But I chose to be part of the national
because it goes global. I did the global emphasis for a reason, and this is taken like fire in many other countries, actually. Mm-hmm. Australia's way
it's
up
the
there.
Same thing, really, with the national.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's right there on the passport regulations. All citizens are nationals. And then that bottom line on that same page says what you need to put on your affidavit to send in to the Secretary of State, get it notarized. I declare my intention to become a national and not a citizen.
That's right.
Okay, we are at the end of our show. We're going to get cut off real soon, but thank you, Murr. I really appreciate everyone's contribution.
I hope you join your state assembly, Murr.
Yep, me too. So thank you so much, Lisa. I really appreciate it. I'd actually like to have you come back and do a show just on vaccines. If you're ever up to it,
that'd be lovely. I'd have to prepare for that one. My materials.
But you have a lot of material on that too. It's fascinating because
if anybody wants to look at it, go to my LinkedIn. I have a few works up there, and they all have good resources.
Yeah, but yeah, the assembly process is where to go.
And it is. I've been focused on the solution for a few years.
Absolutely. Thank you, sweetie. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
Very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Have you ever needed to make a phone call but didn't want the person you're calling to know that it was you on the other end? Have you ever needed to make a call and wanted to keep your phone number and location private? Well, now you can with PatriotPhone.com. PatriotPhone.com will enable you to make unlimited calls anonymously. That's right, unlimited anonymous phone calls to anywhere in the U.S. and 36 countries around the world. Our most popular phone plan includes unlimited calls, your own phone number, voicemail, call forwarding, recording, and many other great features. Visit PatriotPhone.com to get your own phone number in any state and take back control of your phone calls. PatriotPhone.com also allows you to record your calls and access all of your phone records online. PatriotPhone.com works with iPhones, Android-based phones, and Windows computers. Protect your privacy and your freedom with unlimited anonymous telephone service from PatriotPhone.com. Today, that's PatriotPhone.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.